To face unafraid the plans that we've made. Written by Rhiannix. Read by Moonlight Petal. Summary. Charlie has a plan. All she needs is a little festive spirit, and probably the power of a god to make Dean and Cass realize their feelings for each other. Christmas is a good start. A very off-key rendition of All I Want for Christmas Is You carried around the bunker. And while Dean would fervently claim it was Sam who had been singing, he was later found whistling what was probably supposed to be Wham's Last Christmas. It was hard to tell if it was that or if he was just impersonating a strangled bird. Charlie had turned up a week before Christmas, her arms so heavily laden with tinsel and fairy lights she seemed to twinkle. She grinned at Dean's shocked expression, exclaimed happily that he wasn't being a Scrooge this year, and thrust a wreath into his hands. He looked down at the large red bow adorned on it and blinked. Dean had stopped Charlie at first as she made to put up the tree, unsure how the recently fallen one's angel would take to celebrating Christmas. But Cassiel had been in raptures with the fake green boughs and had practically snatched it off Charlie. That was a friendship Dean was growing worried about. Charlie's first words about Cass had been that he seemed dreamy. He didn't want to know how she'd gotten that idea, especially since the Carver Adland books were written from his perspective. He made a mental note to somehow remove all copies from existence. Then he remembered he'd need Charlie for that. Cass liked Charlie. She turned up early in the year, dragging Sam and Dean out to some strange event where people dressed up in costumes and pretended to be other people. During her time in the bunker, she'd asked him some odd questions about Dean, mainly regarding Cassiel's feelings about Sad Hunter. She didn't seem too pleased with his reply of, "Dean is my friend." Charlie, in turn, was very interested in Cass. Moreover, she was interested in those longing stares that were described in the supernatural books, often taking up about 5 paragraphs, between him and Dean. But neither seemed willing to talk, and she only caught them once gazing at each other over the kitchen table. She was not disheartened. The Christmas spirit had settled in some cases rather reluctantly, i.e. Kevin, over the inhabitants of the Man of Letters bunker. Even Crowley had donned a Rudolph sweater, though he claimed it was only because it reminded him of Sam. The sort-of-not-really demon had become a sort-of-not-really inhabitant of the bunker, what with Sam and Dean being unable to toss him out. He mostly stayed in his room, though he never missed a chance for a snide comment on the off chance they were all together. He took the opportunity as they sat watching It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve. "Tell me, Cassie, what are the Christmas celebrations like up in heaven?" Cass blanched. He floundered, his mouth falling open. Dean was on his feet in an instant, reeling off such a vicious string of profanities that Charlie was almost inclined to cover Kevin's ears. Dean was half about to drag Crowley out the room when Cass muttered, "Dean," placing a hand on his arm. Dean's eyes bulged, staring at Cass' fingers wound over his biceps. On the TV, someone was shouting, but everything seemed to have fallen very silent in the room. Crowley gave a small snort and got up, saying something about leaving the lovers to it and leaving. This at least seemed to bring Dean back to reality. He gave Cass a weak smile and sat back down, flexing his now released arm. Charlie's eyes flicked briefly over to Sam, and he gave her a grimace that she could translate perfectly well. "They do this all the time." Charlie, Sam, and Kevin all left quite quickly after the end of the film. Cass was frowning at the TV screen. "Something wrong, Cass?" Dean raised his eyebrows, standing up and brushing a few popcorn pieces off the sofa. They didn't have a very wonderful life. Dean couldn't help but laugh at what could only be called a pout on Cass' face. That's not the point of the film, Cass. Here, want the rest of the popcorn? He held the bowl out to him. Thank you, Dean. He took the bowl, gathering the remaining pieces, and popped them into his mouth. Dean found himself staring, watching the way Cass' pink lips moved. Then, Dean nearly choked. Cass raised his fingers to his mouth and sucked on them. The sound and the way his cheeks hollowed sent a very strong rush down southward, and Dean barely managed to keep his voice level. You done? Dean almost snatched the ball from Cass' hands. Cass gave him a very odd look and nodded. As Dean walked to the kitchen, he glared at his crotch, where he could see a faint bulge. You have got to be kidding me. Charlie came bounding into the kitchen on Christmas Eve morning, her face literally glowing. It's snowing! She cried, grabbing a slice of toast from Dean's plate and ignoring his protests, sat down beside him. Cass looked up from the newspaper he was poring over. Why is that so exciting? Because this is Kansas, and because it means we might get a white Christmas. Cass glanced over at Dean to explain. Dean, for some reason, went red as their eyes met, but he explained anyway. A white Christmas is when it's snowy outside. It doesn't often snow, so it's quite special when it happens. I see. Though Cass wasn't sure he did. He'd experienced snow. It was just quite mushy and wet. Special how? Dean didn't reply, chewing slowly on a slice of toast. Charlie noticed that the conversation between the two seemed slightly tense compared to yesterday. She got up, ruffling Cass's hair, and walked to the door, stopping to say, It's special because it's romantic. And if she glanced around once she was out of sight to catch them staring at each other, well, who was watching? Cass liked the decorations Charlie had, despite Dean's protest plastered all over the bunker. He thought the lights made the usually dim place seem less gloomy. This interpretation of Christmas, with fake fir trees and films about people who may or may not have been Santa Claus, he found it strangely enjoyable. He felt a pang as he remembered the celebration in heaven of Christmas Day. He knew that no number of jolly men in red could be better than that. One decoration Dean had seemed particularly disapproving of. There were green leaves with white berries that hung from the ceiling. Cass had turned to Charlie and questioned her. What is the significance of mistletoe? Charlie had begun to explain that if two people were under the mistletoe, they would have to kiss. But she had barely started before her eyes glazed over and a grin spread over her face. She gave Cass a quick kiss on the cheek, claiming he was a genius, and darted off. Cass glanced up at the berries and frowned at them. He would find out what they did somehow. Charlie knew this plan would not work alone, so she sought out her perfect co-conspirator. Sam sat alone in the library, hunched over his laptop. Charlie smirked to herself as she watched the concentration on his face. Usually people only gave that much attention to a screen when they were watching porn or in the middle of a raid. Sam, my man, I have a plan. Sam looked around at her, his face half interested, half annoyed at her depriving him of his precious research. Charlie slid into the chair beside him, dramatically unfolding her master plan and showing it to him. He read it, then cocked an eyebrow. Mistletoe? Yes! She took back the master plan, which was really just a square of paper with the word mistletoe on it. Sam seemed to wait for more than that sentence, but she was quiet. He was on the verge of a bitch face. What about mistletoe? Charlie's grin turned half wolf-like. I know just how we're going to get your brother and Cass to finally come to terms with their feelings for each other. Whatever Sam had been expecting, it wasn't that. His jaw dropped. Wait, what? Dean and Cass' feelings for each other? Keep up, Sammy. So, mistletoe, it's perfect. We just need to find a way. What are you talking about, Dean and Cass' feelings? They're oh so obvious, totally unplatonic, complete and utter tear apart heaven and hell love for one another. Sam's jaw, if possibly, dropped further. Charlie rolled her eyes. Yeah, like you haven't noticed. Come on, Sammy, even you must have seen the way they look at each other like they're in the entire world. Well, yeah, but I just thought that was their profound bond or whatever. He trailed off as Charlie gave him an almost sympathetic look. Sammy, sweetie, profound bond? Really? Yeah, take it from me. That's as gay as it gets. She patted Sam on the arm. So, you want in? Sam seemed to teeter on the verge of something before meeting Charlie's eyes and sighing. As much as I don't want to think of Dean and Cass getting it on, yeah, I'm in. Charlie clapped her hands. Great! So, phase one. The first person Cass found in his quest for answers was Dean, sitting with a cup of coffee in the kitchen. Dean looked up as Cass came in and spilled some of his coffee over himself. It was clearly hot because he winced and swore. As Dean stood up, his face visibly flushing, he tried to pull his features into a smile at Cass. Hey, man. Cass was extremely confused at Dean's reaction to him walking into the room and tried to think if he looked particularly strange today. Here, let me... Cass took a cloth from the counter and dabbed at a puddle of liquid on Dean's thigh. Dean practically yelped, leaping away as if Cass had burned him more than the coffee. Jesus, Cass, you can't! He passed a hand over his face, trying not to glare at the fallen angel, who was watching him with a mixture of confusion and sadness. Cass, just give me that. He tried as gently as possible to take the cloth from Cass. I don't understand, Dean. Did I hurt you? No, Dean said hastily. No, no, not at all. His dick definitely didn't think so anyway. Cass was still staring at him, and Dean wasn't prepared to put his hands anywhere above his knees while he had those eyes on him. You know what? I'll just go change. Dean threw the cloth onto the table and practically ran out the room. Cass tilted his head to the side as he watched him leave. He still didn't know what mistletoe was for. Charlie was considering investing in a black spinny chair and a white cat. Her plan was forming brilliantly. Now she just needed the two idiots to comply. She even considered letting one of them in on it, Cass, obviously, but it would be so much more fun if they were oblivious. It was a strange feeling. She was so used to shouting, "Now kiss!" at her TV screen, but now she was literally shoving their lips together. So this was what God felt like. Oh, touchy subject. Everything had fallen into place, but then shit hit the fan. And the fan blew said excrement right back out into her face. Charlie was just sitting minding her own business, her Tumblr business, and trying to get the disastrously slow Wi-Fi to work when she heard what could only be called a scream. She just managed to save her laptop from a coffee onslaught and had scrambled to her feet before she got her answer. Cass appeared in the lounge doorway, his face a blazing beetroot red. She'd never seen the angel blush, yet alone looked like he wished the floor would swallow him up. He stumbled, his eyes wide and unfocused, and sat on the couch beside Charlie. He barely even registered she was there. Earth to Cass? Charlie cracked an eyebrow at him. He half turned his head to her, his mouth slightly open when Dean hurtled into the room. Water was pouring from his body, and all the hunter had on was a small white towel hung low over his hips. He, too, was sporting a flaming face. Fucking damn it, Cass! Learn to knock or something! My apologies, Dean. Cass' voice was even lower than usual, and he seemed to have trouble getting words out. Charlie watched his eyes travel over Dean's bare, damp skin, and she saw his tongue dart out over his lips. If she just chanced a glance downward, yep, there was a prominent lump at the front of the angel's jeans. Cass really hadn't meant to do it. Dean and Cass, as their rooms were beside each other, shared a bathroom. He'd needed the toilet, and Dean occasionally forgot to lock the door, like this time. Cass had absent-mindedly opened the door, not registering the sound of the water hammering from the shower, until he had found himself staring at a wet, completely naked Dean Winchester. Barely remembering how to move his legs, Cass had tripped out the room and almost forgot to close the door behind him. He heard Dean curse and the water shut off. It wasn't like Cass hadn't seen Dean naked before. After all, he, Castia, had seen Dean at his most naked in hell. He had pieced him together again. But this, when Dean was conscious, and Cass most definitely was beginning to notice that his feelings towards Dean were not that of friendship, this was not good. Tell me, Moose, does anything seem funny to you between Romeo and Juliet? Sam resisted the urge to lob the heavy volume he was reading at Crowley's head. Yes, Crowley was trying to repent, but he was also trying Sam's patience. I almost missed the gooey eyes. Almost. Crowley's tone suggested he was trying to rile Sam into some kind of confession, but Sam knew nothing more than him. He, like Crowley and Kevin, had watched Dean blatantly ignore Cass, even when Cass asked Dean to so much as pass the ketchup. Kevin had to reach very awkwardly over Dean to reach the sauce and hand it to Cass. Sam cornered Charlie, who had been looking upset about it. She quickly explained what had happened, and Sam didn't know whether to laugh or be pissed at his brother. He just hoped that their plan for tomorrow would bring this all to an end. He didn't want to think how disastrously wrong it could go. Christmas morning dawned with a fresh layer of snow on the ground. Charlie bounced through the bunker and heard shouts at Kevin and Dean to wake up because it's fucking Christmas could probably be heard in Lebanon, the country. It wasn't a big Christmas celebration. Dean and Sam cooked most of the dinner, but even Crowley chipped in and made the stuffing. While it was in the oven, Charlie passed around the presents she brought along. Crowley seemed to be doing his best to not look downcast when he didn't receive one, but then Charlie handed him a small parcel and his face lit up with a genuine smile none of them had thought him capable of, as he unfurled a bottle of Scottish whiskey. It was quite a moving sight. Dean grinned goofily at the old vinyls he unwrapped, and Sam almost choked her in a hug at a new router she had given him. Kevin, who was still not so familiar with Charlie, gave her a look of astonishment at the Xbox he received. She winked at him and said, "Only if I get to use it." Kevin smirked. "Depends if you can beat me." "You're on. Tonight you are going down." Cass was last to open his present. He was frowning at it. It was large and lumpy. He wasn't sure if it was supposed to be so squidgy. Hesitantly, he tore off the paper and held it up. Charlie smiled nervously. "I know you lost your trench coat, but I couldn't find another one, so I thought you might like that, and that it might fit better." It was a black leather jacket. He stared at it for a few seconds, then up at Charlie, then back at the jacket. The smile that spread over his face seemed to radiate with the grace he lost. He carefully folded it up with a quiet but meaningful thank you. Dean realized that, after that moment, he couldn't take his eyes off the fallen angel. It was as Charlie was getting up to get a turkey out of the oven that she bent down as she passed Cass and whispered in his ear, "There is a better present for you later." It was an odd Christmas dinner. Dean, Sam, Kevin, Crowley, Castiel, and Charlie all crowded round two small dining table and loaded their plates with far too much food than was humanly necessary. Two hunters of the supernatural, one that tortured in hell and another that was an ex-demon blood drinker, one prophet of God who abandoned his advanced placement to save the world, the actually king of hell, an angel of the Lord who'd fallen from heaven, and, well, a normal girl. And Charlie would definitely not call herself normal. But it wasn't their very strange walks of life that made it odd. It was that this was, for most of them, the first time in a long time they'd had Christmas dinner with something close to a family. And that made them all feel merrier than the old bottles of champagne they found in the cellar. As they all collapsed, bells straining and heads light, onto their respective seats in the TV room, this was when Charlie's plan would begin. Neither Dean nor Cass seemed too drunk. Sam had said that you could easily tell with Dean because he became much more open with his feelings, which was good because she didn't want them doing something they'd regret. Die Hard was playing on the TV and Cass was frowning in it, probably confused as to what made it a Christmas film. A little way into the film, Charlie leaned close to Cass and whispered, "Go and put your jacket on." He smiled eagerly at the idea and left. Dean's eyes snapped round and he watched Cass go with something close to longing. Charlie caught Sam's eye and winked. Sam cleared his throat and began, "Hey Dean, could you—" "Sorry, Sammy, I just need to go." Dean had gotten to his feet, staring blankly at the doorway. Charlie's eyebrows rose up her forehead and she looked at Sam in shock. The plan was slowly tumbling down the drain. Dean mumbled something incoherent and quickly made for the hallway. Dean wasn't sure what it was. Maybe it was that he'd seen Cass smile more than ever before today, and it seemed to fill something empty inside him. Maybe it was the feeling of belonging he got as they all sat around the table together eating Christmas dinner. Maybe it was that he liked seeing Cass in stupid festive jumpers, watching stupid, cheesy movies. But he knew this was how he wanted to spend every Christmas. He wasn't letting Cass go. Dean wasn't sure where Cass was, nor why he'd left, but he sort of just walked in the hope of finding him. He rounded a corner and almost collided with Castiel. As he regained himself, laughing nervously, he realized that Cass had changed and his eyes bulged. He'd taken off the ridiculous, far too large Santa sweater, and he was wearing the leather jacket Charlie had gotten him, over what Dean was pretty sure was one of his own AC/DC shirts. Dean felt like the breath had been knocked out of him as his blood rushed straight to his cock, looking at the man before him, because, holy fuck, no pun intended, he hadn't realized just how hot he was. And as Dean's brain began to process this, he realized how completely fucked he was. He was insanely turned on by his best friend. His guy best friend. Fuck. Cass was eyeing Dean apprehensively. They hadn't spoken much since Cass had walked in on Dean showering, and the look on the hunter's face was quite frightening. Then Cass noticed something just a bit over Dean's head. "I still don't know what the point of that stuff is." Dean looked up and his throat constricted. "Yep. They were standing under mistletoe." "Of course." Usually when two people are under mistletoe, they have to kiss." "I see." Cass's eyes settled back on Dean. Neither of them moved for several seconds. Then Cass stepped forward and pressed his lips softly against Dean's. Every thought process inside Dean seemed to grind to a halt. Before he could even begin to comprehend it, Cass had pulled back and was staring at his own feet. Then, Dean suddenly realized what had happened. Cass had kissed him. And, well, there was only one thing he could do. Dean surged forward and crushed his lips against Cass. The fallen angel went still, his mouth not moving. Then Dean felt hands grasp his hips and his back slammed against the wall. Cass kissed him hungrily, sliding his tongue past Dean's parted lips and licking his mouth as if he were the most delicious taste he'd ever known. So much went unspoken in that kiss. Everything they'd been suppressing for 5 years had burst free. Everything they had wanted, but not been able to do, they could. And Cass knew what Dean wanted most of all, what he needed, and Cass' answer was there. As their breaths merged and all he could taste was Dean, he knew he was not going anywhere. He was going to stay, and they would in time say "I love you," but it wasn't needed, they both know. Dean broke the kiss, bringing one hand up to curve around Cass's jaw, and he caught Cass's earlobe between his teeth, nibbling gently. Cass could feel his smile. "Merry Christmas, Cass." "Merry Christmas, Dean." When Kevin and Crowley awoke several hours later and Die Hard had finished, they realized they'd probably missed something. Cass's head was resting against Dean's shoulder, and Dean was lazily stroking the fallen angel's hair. Sam was grinning from ear to ear, and Charlie was already organizing a celebration party. She expected her crown any day soon. The end.